After reading Guthrie's facts demanding that the prize be given to save Venice as a whole or not at all, Countess Marcello sat down to write him a reply. She explained that the Torta Prize was always given to an individual, and that if an organization was intended as a recipient, it would be given in the name of someone who represented the organization, in this case, Larry Lovett. She said she feared there was no way she could give Guthrie's message to the prize committee without insulting them and making it obvious that an embarrassing skirmish was taking place within Save Venice. She said she hoped the organization's internal problems could be resolved privately. Guthrie was not mollified. He suspected from the outset that Barbara Berlingeri had arranged for Lovett to be singled out for the Torta Prize. Alexis Gregory had admitted as much by gleefully passing the word that Barbara engineered it all for Larry. Guthrie saw it as yet another galling instance of Lovett's insatiable craving for recognition. He picked up the phone, called one of the members of the Torta Prize committee, and made his position unmistakably clear. Word of Guthrie's phone call spread quickly in Venice. His manner was said to have been intimidating. Lisa Marcello sent him another fax to say that members of the committee were extremely upset by his call and dumbfounded that he would even consider refusing the prize. "This is what I was anxiously hoping to avoid," she said. "The situation is very, very bad." The prize committee gave in to Guthrie, but grudgingly. They omitted Lovett's name from the award citation, but included a photograph of him, along with words of praise, in the printed program handed out at the award ceremony. Guthrie was now convinced that Lovett and Barbara Berlingeri had subverted Lisa, giving her the impression she was no longer answerable to New York. This would account, he thought, for her reluctance to convey his objections to the prize committee, and for her explanation that the prize was always given to individuals, which was in fact the rule. But, Guthrie contended, there had been exceptions. Guthrie suspected that Lisa was being used by Larry and Barbara. She was passing information to them, spying on them. He decided to take action, and so, in a brief phone call one morning in mid-January 1998, he fired her. The phone call was in fact nominally made by Paul Wallace, chairman of the executive committee. But it had Guthrie's imprimatur stamped all over it. And although Wallace made the appropriate sounds, Lace's work, superb, save Venice, cutting costs, hope you'll accept 6-month retainer as consultant, want to dedicate a Save Venice restoration in your name, the message was clear. Countess Marcello had been fired without notice and would kindly clean out her desk by morning. Guthrie sent a brief fax to the UNESCO office announcing the name of the new director of the Venice office, without even mentioning Lisa Marcello. Within a day, news of Lisa Marcello's abrupt dismissal had spread throughout the immediate Venetian circles and beyond to people who knew none of the principals and had only a vague notion of Save Venice. The story, as told in wine bars and food shops, was shorn of detail. An organization of rich Americans had fired a blameless Venetian countess. What had begun as a petty and ignoble private squabble had turned into a public insult to Venice and Venetians. The firing deepened the split on the board of Save Venice. One board member resigned upon hearing the news. Professor Wolfgang Walters, an art historian who had worked closely with Lisa Marcello on the Miracoli Church. Girolamo Marcello, Lisa's husband and one of the Venetians on the board, did not resign. Instead, he quietly made arrangements to come to New York for the next Save Venice board meeting. He had never before attended a board meeting in New York, only the ones in Venice. When he walked through the door of the University Club, where the meeting was held, Bob and B. Guthrie glanced at each other. Larry Lovett and Barbara Berlingeri were the only two people present who seemed to know what was about to happen.